another episode of the Banking Matters podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Mattson, and I'm joined today by Sarah Maldonado. She's an accomplished human resources leader who has over a decade of progressive experience. She currently serves as the Vice President of Human Resources at the Texas Bankers Association, where she leads HR for a distributed workforce. Sarah drives initiatives in employee engagement, performance management, and organizational development. She's passionate about creating workplace cultures where employees feel valued, empowered, and aligned with purpose. Sarah is a SHRM certified professional and holds a special credential in HR Department of One. She also holds a master's degree in human resources management from Keller Graduate School of Management and a bachelor's degree in social science with a focus on business, economics, and hospitality from Washington State University. Sarah, welcome. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me today.
Absolutely.
I know HR never sleeps, and I'm sure you're busy, but we are hoping that you can share some insight on, I guess, today's HR landscape and not only how it's changed over the years, but how it continues to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the days of people looking at, you know, a 30-year career are gone, you know. The average life cycle of employee right now is maybe 4 years in any given position. And so we see a lot of transitions and the people that we interview. And I think it's just because, you know, they're looking for growth, you know, they want to advance their career. And I think they see the only way to do that is to move positions that offer that advancement rather than staying with one company, you know, their entire career, which, you know, those days are long gone. So it's changing. And I think that the needs of our employees is changing, obviously, post COVID with flexibility, working from home, remote access, all of those things, which I know for many of our bankers can be hard to adjust to that, just given the inner workings of the banks themselves. But if we want to stay competitive and we want to, you know, attract top talent, we're going to have to figure out a way to meet in the middle, you know, to better align with what the bank needs versus what our employees are seeking.
Do you feel like as new generations enter the workforce, they just have not only different requirements, but even different kind of expectations? It's like the remote work, for instance. Do you mm-hmm. see that a lot with all the people that you talk to?
I do. And I think that it depends on the position that you're recruiting for, the type of candidate or employee that you're looking for. I think, you know, we still have a lot of candidates that are from, you know, the earlier generations that still have that work ethic, don't mind coming into the office, aren't as focused on flexibility, but that's not always the reality of where we're headed as a marketplace. You know, the younger employees are starting to come in more and more, and they want that flexibility. They don't want to be at their computer from 8 to 5 every single day. You know, they have lives and they value their personal lives just as much as they value their place of business. And so, you know, we're going to have to figure out a way, like I said, to kind of meet in the middle. And I know that can be really hard for our banks, like I said, just because the dynamics of the positions within our banks maybe don't always lead to flexibility.
Sure. That's the thing about banking or a lot of industries, just because your store is staffed doesn't mean that you can close early or not open. So, you know, staffing in general, I think that sometimes feel that cross training is something, you know, it's important to the employer. Do you feel like job seekers today are looking to have that cross training experience to be able to do more than one task? Or do you feel like they're more centered in this is what I was hired in to do, this is what I want to do?
No, I definitely think that they're interested in cross-training. And I think one thing that we have to be mindful of is that the younger generation wants to know the path to advancement. They want to know how they can take that next level, get that next pay raise, whatever that looks like. And I think, you know, I was speaking to one bank not that long ago where they do that. They send their new hires through each department for a couple of weeks so that they get to see what each role looks like. They get to learn a little bit about that position. And that way, you know, when they're ready to move, they have that knowledge and experience to allow that. I think the one thing that's really important is, you know, if a candidate or an employee starts out as a teller, the best thing that you can do for that person is sit them down and show them the path that is available to them if they want to continue their career within the bank. It's, you're not always going to be stuck in the teller position if that's what you want. If you want to advance or try out something new, this is what your path forward looks like. And I think that's really important for our bankers to acknowledge that, you know, people just want to know, how can I grow within the organization, and what does that path look like?
Do you think that sometimes, obviously, HR and budget can sometimes go hand in hand? When there are job seekers out there today, I mean, are they looking at certification opportunities like paid training? Are those things that are important, or is it just more of the path and what it might require to advance, certification aside? What do you see there?
Yeah, definitely. Training is very important to this younger generation coming into the workforce. I was actually just talking to a candidate earlier this week that was asking what training looks like here at TBA. And, you know, do you invest in my training? Do you invest in my growth personally and professionally? And I think that is a big thing that we're going to start seeing more and more of, is, are you investing in me so that I can be a better person, a better employee? And, you know, I think if we convey that, or if we put that emphasis on training, it's going to only encourage our employees to stay longer, because we're truly investing in them outside of a paycheck or PTO. We're really showing that we're willing to spend the money and the time to get you the training that you seek.
Sure. And I think maybe, does that kind of roll into feedback and, you know, information sharing? I know we have a lot of questions on succession planning that we get here. And, you know, how is a bank going to prepare when that 30-year retired employee retires? And a lot of times, because there hasn't been that either cross-training or training in general or job shadowing, all of a sudden something happens and there's just a position that's unfilled and nobody really knows how to do it. Is that something you see a lot, or, you know, is that anything that's still happening now to the younger generations? Are they interested in, I guess, advancing into a role that they know they're going to move into?
I think it depends. And I think that starts with having a conversation with the employee day one, is, what do you want to get out of being here? Where do you see your career going, and how can we help you achieve that? Because you're right, you know, a lot of us don't think that far ahead. And then we find ourselves, with a bunch of retirements. And what do we do at that point? So I think it starts from the very beginning with your new hires, is having that conversation about, you know, where they see their future going. I mean, not everybody wants to be the president and CEO, and that's okay. But maybe they want to be a branch manager, or a regional manager, or a mid-level manager. Or maybe they just want to be a worker bee, and that's okay too. But I think it's important to have those conversations and just ask somebody, like, what do you want? And how can we help you get there? And again, that goes back to my point of really investing and showing them the path forward, or the paths that are available to them within the banks. And so that you're setting yourself up for that next generation to take over when it's time.
And maybe it's a big topic, but I mean, I'm sure just kind of in the industry that you're in and everybody kind of communicating together in the HR world, are there certain things that, I guess, drive employees away for certain reasons? I mean, is there anything specific in the industry that is kind of a trend lately of, you know, this is why they left, this is why we're not retaining people? Something that banks can be aware of?
Yeah, I think, and again, I'm very cautious of, you know, my opinion and what I say, because I'm not in the bank, and I don't want to presume to know what they're going through or what they're dealing with. But from what I've heard from several of our bankers, is that it's the perception that employees are leaving because of pay. You know, they're competing with the Chick-fil-A down the street or the Buc-ee's that's paying more. And maybe in some cases that is the situation, but I think, again, it goes back to, if you're really having meaningful conversations with your new hires of what's important to them, It's not always pay. It's like you said, it's training, it's education, it's advancement, it's flexibility. It's all of those things combined that is going to help you retain your employees. So I don't want to have this huge generalization that everybody's leaving because of pay. That's actually not true. And it's still very much the case that oftentimes employees leave because of management. I know that's something that is very, very much still true to these days. Not saying that that's the overall reason, but I think we have to think beyond pay being the only reason that people are leaving. Because if you can only hire a teller at X amount, and that's all that you can afford, and you get somebody to accept that offer, if you invest in them and support them and encourage them, they're going to stay. You know, they're not going to leave for a dollar more at the Chick-fil-A because they see that you care about them and you want them there. I think that's really something that I think our bankers can kind of just focus on a little bit more is, you know, are you truly invested in your new hires from day one?
And not just new hires, you know, as people with a company for years or a bank or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. Do you find that feedback becomes more important? I mean, I know it's kind of a feedback mantra with Sarah, which is great. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of communication, but you know, what kind of advice do you have on either, you know, starting that kind of overall feeling in your bank or your business into, you know, information sharing and just general feedback, you know, how important is that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we have a strong culture of feedback here at TBA, and it goes back to the fact that we're humans and humans innately need feedback. It's just built into our DNA. We need to know if we're doing good, if we're not doing good, where we stand. And I think too often we can kind of forget about the employees that are just doing their job really well. We don't really hear anything from them. They're just chugging along and doing great. And we kind of forget about them. But I think, you know, one thing that we do really well here at TBA, as you know, is that we're constantly giving each other feedback. And so that nobody ever feels left out, whether you've been here 3 months or 3 years or 30 years, you know, we value that, that approach to, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been here, what your title is, we're humans. And we genuinely want to know where we stand at all times, whether we're doing good or we're not doing good. And I think that that feedback is extremely important, and not just something that should happen with new hires, to your point, but all of your employees desperately want that and need that, whether they admit it or express it or not.
Positive or negative?
Positive or negative. Yeah, I think, you know, it's really important, and it not necessarily negative, but, you know, just vital information on what they can get better at. You know, how can you improve, you know, to get you to the next step or to get you to the next pay or to just make sure that you're happy and satisfied here.
Sure. Any perks that you can think of kind of offhand that are kind of sought after nowadays? I know we talk about training, kind of the typical things, but I mean, is there anything that people are seeking that you run across that, you know, is maybe something people haven't thought of in the past?
That's a great question. I will say that PTO still seems to be one of the top things that people really care about. It comes up in every conversation that I have with a potential candidate. And it seems that no matter, you know, what age you are, what generation you are, how long you've been in the workforce, PTO still seems to remain a top priority for people. And I think that goes back to, you know, the importance of, I have a personal life and I want that personal life to be a priority for me. And again, I'm not here to judge or to criticize any of our bankers, but I will say that I would encourage people to go back and look at their PTO policies and make sure that it really matches what the market is asking for these days. I know that the standard is still 3 weeks. That's a standard for a reason. But I would encourage people to really evaluate their PTO policy. Now, again, I know it's hard for our bankers, you know, when people take time off, it puts a lot of strain on the rest of the team to cover for that person. But from what I've seen over the last several years talking to thousands of candidates is that's definitely in the top three of their priorities. They want that time off to be with their family or do whatever they want to do.
And that's great advice. You know, annually, if that handbook gets rewritten, that's something maybe they can revisit. Is there anything else, kind of speaking of handbooks and things that, you know, HR departments should be looking out for or aware of, any kind of changes or just general advice you can think of?
That's a great question. I mean, I always think it's important to go back, maybe not every year, but every, you know, 2 or 3 years, go back and revisit your handbook to make sure that your policies are up to date. They still match your objectives as an organization. They still match the importance of what your employees need and are looking for. And I think, you know, it's a good opportunity to kind of evaluate the things that you're offering to your employees. And does it make sense? Is it what your employees truly want? And so I think it's good to audit your handbook every couple of years just to make sure that it's up to date. And, you know, policies are created because something happens that, you know, forces you to create a policy for that. But I would just caution people, you know, if it's, you know, one or two situations, maybe not create a policy for it. But if it's a systemic problem that requires a policy, maybe look into that. But I think it's a good opportunity, again, to reevaluate, you know, where your priorities are as an organization and for your employees.
Any other words of wisdom you'd like to impart on our banks that are listening?
I think the biggest thing that I can say is never assume you know what your employees want. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest downfall you could have as an organization is to assume you know. I think the best thing that you could do is constantly ask your employees where they're at, how they're feeling, do they feel supported? Are they getting the tools that they need? Are our benefits matching what your priorities are? And just seeking feedback from your employees, give them a voice, you know, do state interviews or surveys and really just seek that feedback from them. I think that will go a long way with creating an environment that shows, again, that you're invested in them, you care about them, you want to hear from them. And that might help with your tenure as well a little bit if you're constantly seeking that feedback from them. So I would just encourage that. Don't ever assume, you know, and if you do have employees leave, do that exit interview. Really have a frank conversation with them on why they're leaving and what we could have done better to keep them and take that feedback and, you know, improve, like take it to heart, see if you can make adjustments so that you have a higher chance of retaining your employees.
Absolutely. I think that's what we all want in the end. Happy employees, retain employees, and great. That was excellent advice. Thank you very much, Sarah. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to chat with me for a little bit and share your insight. And that concludes this episode of the Banking Matters podcast. Please tune in again next time.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you, Sarah.